our study, I realize that we've been in this 2 Timothy for several weeks, and we've been doing a study on what the Bible says about the last days, and we've made it all the way to verse 3. To get the context, we'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 5. But this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 12, yea, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The world in the last days is not getting better. It is devolving into greater demonstrations of human depravity and immorality. And that is what the Apostle Paul is conveying to us, that in the last days, wickedness is going to abound. Human depravity is going to be magnified. And I believe that we are living in the last days. Even the last of the last days. But last week, the week before, we covered without natural affection, and we dealt with that in several different ways. But today we're going to start with this next one, which is truce breakers. And it basically comes down to a breach, a violation of the ninth commandment, which is, thou shalt not bear false witness. When you get right down to it, 10 laws, as expressed in the moral law, everything else flows from that as far as morality. And the idea of a truce breaker is that someone unjustly nullifies a contract that they have made or a treaty that they have signed. And it basically comes down to this, that a man's word can no longer be believed in our present age. And certainly that's true of mankind in general. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. People break contracts, promises, treaties every single day. They not only break those things through dishonesty, but they also justify that sin. Contracts, marriage vows, promises, treaties are constantly being broken with little or no remorse or shame. You know, in days gone by, a man's word meant something, but not so in our day. And we're seeing it more and more. And politicians are famous for, on the campaign trail, they make promises that they're going to do this and this and this, or they moderate their position to where it seems like they're a lot like the guy that they're running against. And then when they're voted in, they're completely different. That's the way of this wicked world. There are no more statesmen who uphold truth. But many politicians are liars and thieves. And that's how they've made their bones in the political game. And a lot of it comes through truce breaking. Breaking of promises. So how do you fight against this? How do you counteract this? If you're a Christian, you are expected to speak the truth in love. You're expected to do what you say you are going to do. Don't break promises. Don't break contracts. Be faithful. And if you do have to break a contract, pay for it. All right? Make it good so that that person gets restitution. That's how you counteract it. And believe me, our society, in these last days, they need people, we need people in our world who actually say what they mean and mean what they say, that their yea is yea and their nay is nay, just like Jesus commanded. Oh, that God would raise up people who would stand for what's true and stick by their promises. Now, the next one, it goes along with it. False accusers. Defamation of character. Slander. Malicious gossip. Things that are common among people. It's a horrific thing. You know, you can take away someone's reputation by verbal slander and lying on them and falsely accusing them. And again, this goes right on. It's a violation of the ninth commandment. Clearly states, thou shalt not bear false witness. And yet, what's the most popular things on social media? Gossip. Now, it used to be, and I guess, I don't know if they still print the, I think there was the Inquirer. It was that you'd go when you're checking out in a grocery store and it would say that that a Martian was just elected president of France and he's really running the country. You know, it just filled with all kinds of different lies, you know. But now that has morphed from the printed page onto social media. Twitter is a swamp. I have never been on Twitter for 1 minute. I remember when it first came out back in the day, and somebody invited me on Twitter and they sent a little bird thing in an email. And I thought, I'm not doing something like that. So I never have, but it's devolved into a swamp. Now it's a censored swamp. You can only say the approved Pravda narrative on Twitter now. Pravda is the old Soviet Union, information arm, the approved press, and that's pretty much what Twitter has become. But so much defamation, so many lies. And again, it's the way people operate today. People want gossip. They want things that, no matter how outlandish it is. Now, I'm not a fan of Mitt Romney, but I remember when he was running for president in 2012. And I remember that I saw a clip where the Senate leader, who then was Harry Reid out of Nevada, I think, is where he was a senator. He actually got up and said in a public Senate argument, whatever they do in the Senate. He said that I've heard, and this is when Romney's running for president, I've heard that he hasn't paid his taxes in 10 years. Well, that was just an outright lie. I guarantee you, Mitt Romney probably paid a lot more taxes than Harry Reid ever dreamed of paying. But this was a lie to further a narrative. Later on, when Romney was defeated, they asked Harry Reid about it in some 60 Minutes interview, and he said, well, he lost, didn't he? And the idea was, hey, I can defame somebody's character, their name, in order to further my purpose, my keeping of power. And it goes on, not just in the United States, but all over the world. Defamation. It's been a few years ago when they brought a lady out to accuse Kavanaugh of horrific things. And I mean, I couldn't believe what they were saying about this man. And yet, it was to defame him. It's been the way Senate hearings have been going now ever since they did the high-tech lynching of Clarence Thomas back in the, I believe it was in the 80s, when they brought out all of that against him. That's been the natural, let's defame them until nobody will vote for him to be installed as a Supreme Court justice. It's awful. It's wicked. It's defamation of character. It's lying. It's wrong. People will openly lie about others to further their own interests. Usually, why do people gossip? Why do they bring false accusation? Why are they talebearers? They want to make somebody else look worse than they are. You know? I mean, that's the long and the short of it. Yeah, I'm pretty bad, but have you heard about Brother Ross? You want to talk about somebody? Let's talk about him, man. He got lots of problems. Just look at him. And then they begin. It's to make you look better in the eyes of others while you're running down somebody else. And you know what? It's false accusation. Do you realize how prominent this thing is among young people? The things that young people say about and to one another on social media to slander them, to falsely accuse them. And I tell you, it affects people. That's why you better monitor what your kids are seeing on the internet. Because there's a lot of garbage on there, and they can really be hurt. It's like, you know, years ago, you'd have mean girls, you know, at school, and they'd get all against somebody, but it was confined to that. All right? Now, it goes all over the World Wide Web. That's what WWW stands for. It goes everywhere. And it hurts a lot of young people. False accusations. How do you counteract it? How do you and I counteract this spirit of false accusation in politics, in religion, in every facet of life? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, I want to clear up something. I'm not a fan of Mitt Romney. He's a Mormon, for one thing. And that's a cult. Literally a cult. I remember when... Well, I'm not going to go into that. But people always talk about, when it comes to election time, oh, we've got to set aside everything and try to and vote for with a completely clear conscience. And if we can't do that, maybe we shouldn't vote at all. Or I thought to myself, don't you realize every time you vote, you are choosing a lesser of two evils? Because men are depraved. Say, well, that's terrible to say that. It's the truth. Especially when it comes to politics. You are voting for the lesser of two evils. Because most politicians are false accusers. They're truce breakers. They're liars. They're thieves. And it's not just in the U.S., it's all over the world. And they'll do anything to get power. So you got to evaluate things and vote for the one that you think is the closest to what you think is good for your country. And in reality, I've voted in every election since 1980. It was my first time when I could vote. I know I look so much younger than that, but I'm not. That was my first voting time. I'll tell you, here's the way. I was saved in 1980. All right? From that point on, I've always voted for pro-life. For somebody that believes that life is precious and important. That's been my number one thing. And people, you know, they get all tore up about politics. I just try to keep it simple. But anyway, here's what we've got to do. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. How do you go against this spirit of false accusation? Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. All right? Anybody can understand that, right? Put away lying. Don't lie. Don't bring false accusation. Go down to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What a contrast here from 2 Timothy chapter 3. The last days there will be truce breakers and false accusers. So how are you and I going to be lights in a world that is in darkness? We speak the truth. We live the truth. We should not be guilty of gossip. We should not be guilty of false accusation. Rather, Put that away. Get rid of it. Purge it from your life. Young people, follow this when you're on social media. And old people too. Don't bring false accusations against people. The next one there in 2 Timothy is incontinent. The Greek word for incontinent is akrates, which means powerless, impotent in a moral sense, unrestrained, and without self-control. Incontinent. If there was ever a day when immorality was unrestrained, it's our day. I know a couple of weeks ago I honed in on Romans chapter 1, the chapter that really describes what happens to a people that rejects God as the Creator and rejects His truth and embraces idolatry and human secularism and atheism. That society becomes without natural affection. They don't have discernment. And they also are engaged in all manner of wickedness. They not only engage in those sins, but they delight in them, and they delight when other people do those things as well. That's what that chapter, it talks about a reprobate mind. Without self-control. Part of this is due to the teaching of evolution, by the way. This idea that someone can't control their passions and that all they are is an animal and their urges take over. Well, listen, if you carry that kind of philosophy in every area of life, people could justify every sin under the sun. Without self-control. Sadly, people are controlled by their fleshly passions, by their lustful desires. And a lot of it goes back to the fact that wherever you've got a rejection of God, you're going to have a heathen culture that is saturated with sexual immorality and ungodliness. It's you look at every society. One of the things that brought down Rome, the Roman Empire, they decayed from within due to their perversions and their immorality. It happens whenever the true and living God is cast out. That vacuum is filled with incontinence. People who don't practice any kind of self-control. What's the mantra of this day and age is, you do you. You practice your own truth. Listen, you don't have your own truth. There's one standard of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word of God is the truth. You don't have your own truth. You can't make up your own truth. Yet people think that they're entitled to do whatever they blessed well please. It's wrong. And it's one of the reasons why you have so much marital infidelity on the rise. So much sexual immorality in all of its various forms. No self-control. Now that's just one aspect. Think about the incontinence in the widespread use of drugs. and alcohol. I put on Facebook of my exposition of Proverbs 31. It comes up as a memory whenever it does. There at the end, when I was doing Proverbs, I would put on Facebook whatever I had taught in Sunday school that day, because that whole book of Proverbs, I've got it a verse-by-verse exposition, all finished. It'll probably never be printed, because it's, you know me, it's way too lengthy. But I put on there how this incontinence affected my life. When I was a young person, I started drinking at a very young age. And that incontinence with regard to alcohol was the gateway that led me into all kinds of drugs. Not heroin or anything you shoot in your arm. But I'm just here to tell you, those things get a hold of you. That's why I tell the kids, all my kids and my grandkids, I tell them on both sides of our family tree, we got depravity. We've got drug abuse and alcoholism. So don't touch it. Don't play with it. Because it can ruin your life. Some people, and I'm not kidding. Some people can do heroin one time and that's it. They're gone for the rest of their life. They will not break that demon. It's a reality. And it comes down to this, young people. You've got to learn to remember, hey, I heard the preacher say, or I heard my mom and dad say, or I know what the Bible says, and let that be a warning. Let a red flag go up when your friends are trying to get you to drink and carry on and use drugs, because it can ruin you, and I'm not lying. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be dead or in jail today in all probability. Because of the demons in the alcohol and the drugs. It ruins people. I've been free for 41 years. But I was in bondage because of incontinence, lack of self-control. And it can ruin everything in your life. You look at, there are entire, Seattle, Washington, downtown, there are literally people laying on the streets who have no self-control. They use drugs every single day. They use the bathroom right on the street. They don't care about anybody but themselves. It is an outworking of this type of mentality. Now, when I tell you a little bit about my testimony, I hope you understand I am not proud of that at all. I'm ashamed of what I put my parents through, what I put my body through, and my mind. But I tell you, there is liberating grace in Jesus Christ. He can change you forever. How do you counteract this? Well, again, what's the essence of discipleship? Turn back to Matthew chapter 16. This is what Jesus says about this subject matter. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got to put to death your will when it does not coincide with His will. You've got to put those desires to death. That's what the cross exemplifies. Putting to death those sinful desires in order to follow the Lord Jesus. So when you're tempted to do something that you know is wrong and sinful, you got to put that desire to death. No matter how good it may make you feel, or how exhilarated you may feel, if it's wrong, don't do it. Because it'll hurt you, and it'll hurt people that love you. I guarantee it. I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. The essence of Christian liberty is the freedom to do what's right for the first time in your life because you're saved. And part of that is not yielding your body to uncleanness and ungodliness and immorality and sinful thoughts and lusts. Oh, you're one of those old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy preachers, aren't you? No fun at all. Listen, the wages of sin is death. The pleasure of sin is but for a season. Hearken to what I'm talking about, because I know what I'm talking about. Romans 6, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if you're saved, God's Spirit dwells in you. He lives in you. He makes you aware of what is right and true and honorable, and He also convicts you when you're wrong and sin. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. The old nature, the sinful nature. We are no longer in debt to that nature. We're not in bondage to that nature. We've been set free in Jesus Christ. Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that means put to death. Take up your cross. Crucify your sinful affections and desires. Mortify, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You want a really clear, simple way of gauging this? Where you're led of the Spirit or led of the flesh. The Spirit of God is never going to lead you to go against the Word of God, because He inspired the Word of God. So He will never lead you into something that's wrong or that's contrary to Christ. So He's not going to lead you into drugs. He's not going to lead you into infidelity, or lying, or cheating. No, He won't lead you into any. So if those things are, if you're struggling with those things, remember where they come from, your sinful nature. You got to put them to death. Now look at verse 22. You know what? I just read some verses in Romans 8 that are excellent, but I meant to be reading Romans 6. This is a great thing about being a Baptist, man. Even when you're preaching and you get in the Bible, I just did a great exposition of that right there. And I did the wrong thing. So now, quickly, go to Romans 6. Oh, boy. You know, I do this occasionally just so you can make fun of me. People love that when the preacher messes up. All right, Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Same frame of thought. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You're under the principle of grace. Live graciously. This is the essence of real Christian liberty. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Self-denial. It's characteristics of genuine Christianity. Rarely ever preached in the religious world today. Because nobody wants to say, well, you mean I can't just do what I want? You're getting it. You got to do what He wants. As it's laid out in the Word of God. That's the way to live a liberated Christian life. The truth will set you free. Error and sin always bring you into bondage. We'll stop there. And, well, we still got a little ways to go. But we're making headway. Let's all stand.
Page number 10.